We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Every single day, reality calls, and the Biden administration just hangs up.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say.
Mark Reardon.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman? All I ask is
that you're a woman. Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say I'm in full panic mode, but the show started just a little before it usually starts in the afternoon. Some of you probably were dialed into that. I'm not exactly sure what happened. All of a sudden, the Open just started, and we are here in the studio. Brad was in here, Abby was in here, and we decided that we were starting the show. Do we think we did not have Fox News? Is that what happened? Okay. Sometimes there are gremlins that are in the system, and I think that that's what happened. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Sue's not even. This is how early we are. Sue is not even here. She'll be in here in just a couple of minutes, and I do want to talk about the hurricane. In fact, we're going to get into that with somebody that she knows in the next hour, Steve Jervey, who is a retired meteorologist. He was with WFLA in Tampa, but that's where this thing is targeting right now. He was there for 25 years. He was the former chief meteorologist at KDNL from 94 to 1998. I don't remember him because that was a period, even though I was in St. Louis for a little of that period, I don't really remember Steve, but we'll get an update on the hurricane in the next hour. We also got George Gray coming in the studio for the Price is Wrong Mark. It's always great to have George in the studio. He's the actual Price is Right announcer with Drew Carey on that show. We got Steve Ellman from St. Charles coming up, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation, an audio cut of the day, and a whole lot more this afternoon. Sue Thomas is in the building. You didn't hear some of this, but we started a little early. You're not late.
What's happening?
Hang on, let me turn the mic on. That's another thing.
What's happening?
We're not exactly sure what happened. We think maybe that at the top of the hour after Annie's show, professional radio, Fox News was supposed to start, and it did not, so it just went into the commercials, and all of a sudden we're sitting in here just a couple of moments ago, and the Open started, which
panic
was interesting.
Did panic ensue?
Well, you know, truth be told, I will, and you know this, that there are some weird gremlins, and if you don't hit that Fox News thing, and this is on like a satellite feed, and if you don't trip it, because all these little digital signals tell our equipment when to air something to a certain extent, I don't know if that really explains it or not, but if that little tone that most people can't hear doesn't, you know, trip the Fox News, then I guess it just goes right into the commercials. So that's okay.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
It gave me an extra 3 minutes of content today, Sue, that I was not expecting.
Bonus.
We are off and running. So, oh my goodness, I just have to start with this. I always want to send you pictures and video from my house, but I can't do that because, as I've explained before, I don't have cell service in my neighborhood. I mean, it was really spotty. And because you have an Android and I have an iPhone, it's one of those weird hangups that I cannot send you video from my phone at home or a picture until I'm out, you know, on my cellular service. It's just an Apple Android weird thing. But I told you just yesterday briefly, you know, I got my daughter finally on the bike. I get home last night. I pulled my mountain bike out of the basement, and my fat ass hasn't been on that thing in years, literally years, and pulled it out. We rode last night. She wanted to ride.
It.
So as soon as I got home, and then she made me commit that I'm going to ride with her tonight when I get home. So we live right near Paradise Valley and Paradise Valley Golf Course. We're going to cross the road and kind of ride over there. So
okay,
I'm excited about that.
I brought you an article entitled Everything You Need to Get Your Kid on the Right Bike.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
Yeah,
Bicycling Magazine. Hopefully...
Well, I think I have the right bike. And in fact, Becky was giving me trouble last night. She's like, you need to raise that seat. I'm like, I know I need to raise the seat. But the dude told me, just kind of
give her some time to get used to it.
I'm giving her just a little bit of time to get used to it. What else was I going to kind of pop off on here at the beginning of the show? There was something. Abby, did I tell you anything that I was like worked
Abby,
up about?
Do you know what I was going to talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, in fairness, I was
does
caught
she?
Off guard because I had to start 2 minutes earlier and that threw the whole day off. She does not know what I was going to talk about.
You already said Jervy's coming on, I assume,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, did that. We got a bunch of different things. Let me start with Ian just a little bit and talk about this because he is going to come on in an hour. And this... You know, they always make these predictions, and a lot of times they don't come true. And I don't want to say – let me see if I can explain this, because I'm not going to say that I'm rooting for a big hurricane. But let's face it. Let's be honest. We have a fascination with these things, right? And human nature is such – and I remember this. It's terrible, but I'll just admit it – that you have this big buildup to hurricanes, and then, you know, you go to bed the night before, and you hear that something's going to get whacked, and you want to find out what happened. And then you tune on the next morning like, oh, everything's fine, which is great because then we don't lose lives and all that. But it's not quite as compelling for the rest of us who don't have hurricanes.
It's true.
So I bring it up because, look, this one I think is going to be pretty serious. You know,
is it still headed for Tampa?
Yes.
Okay.
And it could still take a turn. And I also think, and I want to explain the politics of this a little bit, because there's always politics, and there's some very important politics that could affect people around here. And I'll explain here in a second. But here's DeSantis.
It is now a major hurricane, Category 3 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles per hour. Overnight and into this morning, some of the modeling that has been done is now projecting a landfall south of Tampa Bay. I know we've talked about the cone of uncertainty where the landfall was projected. We had it in North Florida just a couple days ago. That's consistently been moved more east into the Florida Peninsula.
So basically what you're hearing is that, you know, I think the path is changing just a little bit.
There's still uncertainty with where that exact landfall will be. But just understand the impacts are going to be far, far broader than just where the eye of the storm happens to make landfall. In some areas, there will be catastrophic flooding and life-threatening storm surge. And so if you're on Florida's Gulf Coast, from Naples all the way through the Tampa Bay area and some of the counties north of that, that could be something that happens. And it will certainly happen in some parts of Florida's Gulf Coast.
So I think, and I didn't see this, but Fred put this in. There was just an update a few minutes ago, like when Fox News was supposed to be on, and then it wasn't on, just to kind of give you, you know, the exact time.
I got us donuts.
That is not DeSantis. Here it is. That's something for later.
Oh,
that
boy.
Is a good video.
Well, people are preparing. Floridians are taking it seriously. And as you know, with these weather tracks, it's going to be North Florida one day, Tampa the next. Now they're showing more Sarasota, Charlotte County area. So we were down there. But I think that this is going to be a major event. You're going to have really significant storm surge. And one of the things that's going to be difficult is once it makes landfall, it's going to slow down and really kind of crawl. But that's going to dump an inordinate amount of rain. And so you're looking at, yes, a powerful hurricane, but a lot of surge and a lot of water, which is going to cause a lot of flooding.
Yeah, it's that storm surge that they often are worried about. And I can't remember what the last big hurricane was that they were very worried about that. And then it never
can't
really
either.
Amounted to, you know, the amount of surge, which, again, is a good thing. But
Steve will know.
We'll keep an eye on this. Here is why I think this is a very important moment to watch. And believe me, there's always politics, and the Democrats are going to be ready to pounce because Ron DeSantis, one of the things that people will say, there was an interesting piece a few weeks ago where somebody ran down, I can't remember who it was, and I never really got into all the particulars on the air, but someone, one of the political types that I read, was handicapping the pluses and the minuses of Ron DeSantis. A lot of us like DeSantis because we see that he's tough, he's anti-woke, he stands up for some of the things that we believe in, he's tough, and he doesn't get into that, you know, uncomfortable area of behavior like Trump is known for. But on the other side of that is that DeSantis is unproven. He is prone to some gaffes every once in a while.
Oh, you mean human?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. When I say unproven, unproven nationally, let me be clear about that. It's a little different test when the national media goes after you
for sure
and does all these things. But this is huge because you don't want whatever happens in Florida as a result of this hurricane. And I'm not saying that this is the motivation of Ron DeSantis right now, but I have to be honest about the fact that there are huge major political implications in the aftermath of this hurricane. If you have an issue with, you might have loss of life because of the winds, because of the high water, but if it looks like people are not getting the help that they need from flooding, the power goes out, all of those things, if people in Florida need help and rescue, Ron DeSantis is going to be the guy that is going to get the credit or the blame.
It's true.
And if he gets the blame, that's going to be something that I'm sure the Democrats would like to capitalize on moving into an election
season.
That's
just horrible. Let's politicize a hurricane. Well, good grief.
There was a part of me that didn't even want to bring that up, but I have to because I know that other people are talking about that and they're going to keep an eye on this. Now, this kind of leads us into where Eric Adams is and some of the people at the New York Times. There's somebody by the name of Dara Lind who essentially wrote that, you know, Governor DeSantis is the one that is responsible for our broken immigration system, which is ridiculous. Eric Adams did the same thing last week. So she writes in the Times, even trollish stunts have consequences for policy debates. The broader attacks by the Republican governors, the narrower the space of alternative policies they could support. By refusing, here's where she says DeSantis and others are getting into trouble, and I'm going to maybe hopefully try to clear this up for her here in just a second. She says, by refusing to articulate what America ought to be doing on the U.S.-Mexico border, Mr. DeSantis is painting himself and his party into a corner where the only acceptable position will be rejecting the principle of asylum entirely, because you have to realize there are people that are crossing the border that are claiming political asylum. We have a process for that. So she's asking, does America still embrace its obligation under international law to provide sanctuary to at least some of the unauthorized immigrants? That's a very important line there. I don't know if that jumped out to anyone. Let me reread that just a second. There's a key word, ladies and gentlemen. It starts with the letter S. She says, does America still embrace its obligation under international law to provide sanctuary to at least some unauthorized immigrants? And then she says the answer is no longer obvious. Well, when she says some unauthorized immigrants, I find that very interesting because you have 8,000 immigrants unauthorized a day crossing this border. It doesn't take too long throughout the period of a month or a couple of months for these to add up into astronomical numbers. So I'm not so sure what the New York Times or what Eric Adams or what the left wants these governors to do. Let's take just for a moment here the fact that they shipped the migrants to Martha's Vineyard. Was that a political stunt? I'm okay with it being a political stunt. I really am, because I think it got some people's attention.
It did. It made a point.
Right. And, you know, these are still people who had the right to refuse to be taken to Martha's Vineyard. And you want to talk about hypocritical behavior on the part of the Democrats, and we've sort of laid this out in the last couple of weeks. They did the same thing to migrants, because the bottom line is Texas or other border states, they can't handle the influx of this. So what I was going to say is take the political stunt, whatever you want to call the political stunt, out of the mix here. You still have a major crisis where these governors are not, you know, able to house all of these migrants. So I don't know really what the answer is, but they want to put the answers back on Republicans. And I think that's utterly ridiculous. So that was kind of an interesting little hit piece, of course, in the New York Times earlier today. Let's see here. This is kind of amazing, I think, and I want to get into it a little bit. It was something that happened right before the show. I was tooling around for some topics, and I saw a piece from John Nolte. John Nolte's a guy who's been on my show, but it's been a while. He's a right-wing blogger, conservative. He's with Breitbart right now. And his most recent piece was this headline. It says, Sasha Stone, the Breitbart News Interview, Part 1. Woke Hollywood embraces McCarthyism. Now, this caught my attention for a variety of reasons. One, the theme is something that is consistent with things that we talk about on the show. But I know who this person, Sasha Stone, is, Sue. And I don't know her personally, but I'm very aware. And let me tell you who she is. And this is an unbelievable turnaround. It really is. Bill Maher is a great example of someone out there who's been very vocal about this nonsense that the woke left has been pushing. The gender stuff, some of the vaccine, the lockdowns, all this stuff. They pushed against this. I think in fairness, we've had a fair number of people here in this studio on Friday on the roundtable that have had the same opinion, right? People on the left, Jane and others.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. Have expressed that, you know, concern. So Sasha Stone is a name that nobody knows for the most part, but she is a very, very, and has been a very influential person in Hollywood because she runs something called awardsdaily.com. Awardsdaily.com is a...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tuesday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We're going to have a whole heck of a lot of fun in the next hour. Not only do we have Steve Jervey, who's a retired chief meteorologist in Tampa, and that's kind of a serious topic, the hurricane and everything, but Sue's News will follow, and then George Gray from The Price is Right will be here. We'll play The Price is Wrong, Mark. It's always legendary. Steve Ellman from St. Charles County in the 5 o'clock hour. We have an audio cut of the day and a whole lot more. At the start of this worldwide pandemic that we're out of right now, I hooked up with somebody. You know, this is a good tie-in here because I've been talking about Mike Kenny from Defined Destinations. Mike's a guy that I traveled with several years ago and to Italy. And I reached out to him at the beginning of the pandemic. I said, is there someone in Italy that you can hook me up with? And Linda Grafano was that person. She's a tour guide in Rome, and she's back with us. We ended up keeping in contact every few months for the past couple of years. I felt badly, now that things are going better, Linda, that we hadn't spoken in a while. How are you?
I'm fine. And you? How are you?
Well, we're doing fantastic over here. We finally have some really nice weather in St. Louis after the heat has been a little bit too much over the summer. But first and foremost, thank you for staying up late because, what is it, like 10:30 in Rome right now?
Yeah.
Well,
it is 10:30. I'm not in Rome. I'm southern Italy, but it is 10:30.
Okay. Well, thank you for staying up. I don't know if you're someone who goes to bed early or not. Let's just start on the COVID front right now, because what kind of restrictions are still in place? How has the summer been in Italy? Does it feel back to normal?
It really does feel back to normal. The only restriction that was up, and it will be up until September 30th, and then on October 1st, we'll get rid of this last one, is that there is a mask mandate just on public transportation and hospitals. But as I said, from October 1st, it will be gone as well.
Well, that's so excellent.
Okay, I mean, it is true that we still have COVID cases. Today, the rate of positive tests is about 18%, but it is pretty stable.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it is right now. I had a friend who had COVID last week. I just found out about in the last couple of days, and we've had a few people even here in the building. I think that a lot of people might be bracing to a certain extent what might come here in the fall, but it seems like the people who are catching COVID are having mild cases. We don't have high rates of hospitalization. So that's a really good thing. I think it feels more like normal here in the U.S. than it has in 2.5 years, for sure.
Pretty much the same here, yes.
Well, how has tourism been?
Oh, tourism has been like never before. I have to say that after that time with no work at all, we had way too much for the whole summer. I'm still on tour right now, and I will be until the end of November. So this is really, this has been a huge season for
now,
us.
Yeah, are you getting a lot? Where are your visitors coming from? You got a fair amount here from the States. Are they other European nations? Where are they coming from?
I have, I mostly work with Americans, so my market is the American market, but we see a lot of different nationalities around. The only ones that are still missing are the Asians, of course, but the more or less all the Asian countries, but little by little, even that is coming back to normal. I have seen some Koreans around, but the vast majority is right now Germans, British, French, yeah, and a huge number of Americans.
Well, I don't want you to be mad at me, but I mentioned Mike's name. He's the one who connected us, and I called Mike earlier in the summer, and I promise you that Italy was on my list, but we were trying to figure out a place to take a bunch of listeners from here in St. Louis, and we did settle on Spain. I am coming back to Europe, though, next spring, and we're taking a group of listeners to Barcelona and Madrid. We have to put Italy, especially the southern coast of Italy, on this travel list for the future. I promise you that, but Spain kind of seemed like a no-brainer. Your feelings aren't hurt, Linda, are they?
No, absolutely. I mean, Spain is a beautiful place, and as far as you travel, everything is fine, really.
Yeah. Well, I do sense there's still a lot of people from America that, you know, you forget they may have had a trip scheduled for 2 summers ago or even last summer when it didn't feel like it was the right time of year to travel overseas. And I think now this is going to open up quite a bit, which is good news. I never want to drag anyone who's not comfortable into politics, Linda, but you had an election there in Italy, and it was maybe a bit of a surprise to the rest of the world. Can you give me any reflections on what happened in that race for prime minister?
Well, in reality, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I was totally expecting it. And like me, most of the people here, we saw it coming, actually. And but it is too soon to tell you what it's going to be like. Yeah. I mean, up until now, it has been a lot of blah, blah, blah. Like, campaign is always like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're familiar.
Right now, we have...
Yeah.
But right now we have to see. I mean, it takes about 1 month. Our system is really different than yours. So right now there is still the old government that is taking care of everything.
Right.
This government is forming right now. So this woman who has had the majority, she is now in charge of forming a government and presenting a list of ministers to the President of the Republic to be approved. This altogether, this process is going to take about a month.
Yeah.
And of course, the former government is pushing for them to be as fast as possible because they want the really heavy stuff on them right now. So in a month or so, I'll be able to say a bit more. I don't want to give you a personal opinion. I just am trying to give you like
no, I get it.
They are.
I get it. When you say, though, this is where I'm curious, because, yeah, I'm glad you explained that. It's very different than what we have over here. You have to have Parliament be seated, you know, before negotiations on who becomes prime minister, and then they have the new government that's going to be installed, hopefully, by the end of October, early November. When you say that you saw this coming, a lot of people in Italy saw it coming. Were there issues related to COVID, lockdowns, things along those lines that sort of pushed in this direction? Or what would you say that it was? Economic issues or a variety and sort of a mix of all those?
Can I be honest? I think it's the fear for what is around the corner with this war in Ukraine and the price of gas being so high here. We're being impacted really badly. So I think it was fear. And this fear has driven way too many people not to go vote, which is not very European, I understand, but we had a huge number of people that did not go vote. Yeah. And and the other coalition didn't seem to be compact. And of course, they paid their price. So this coalition, for battle good that it is, they presented themselves as a compact team. As I said, the real deal is to see in the next 2 months what is actually on the table and what these people are up for.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a good take, and I think we will watch. I think sometimes we forget how close you are to what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. When it comes to gas prices, they've come down here quite a bit, and I'd say for a regular unleaded, they're right about $3.35. I don't know what that would translate to. Can you give me an idea of how high gas prices are?
I think that you pay your gas by the gallon. We go by the liter.
Right.
I don't know exactly the price of gas right now. I have been traveling for so long that I haven't driven a car for a long time. But it is, at one point, it was very close to €2 per liter. And the other thing is that when I say the price of gas, the cost of energy.
Yes.
This is a serious problem. I'll give you an example. I was at home on the 13th of July for like 2 weeks because both myself and my husband, we had COVID one after the other. We used the air conditioning. Normally, we pay our electricity bill is around 70 euros per month. Mm-hmm. We paid 390. To those 15 days.
Oh, wow. That's about $287 US, especially when it's compared to just 70 euro, right? That's quite. And
exactly.
And that's what we've heard over here. I think we have some of that maybe that's going to happen into the winter over here where there's going to be sticker shock, but that does put it into perspective. There's no doubt about it. Well, Linda, it's always great to hook up with you. It sounds like things overall are going well. I'm glad that tourism is back as we head into the fall here. We will certainly keep in touch, and I hope the government forms in a positive way for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care.
It was nice to hear from you.
It's awesome
thank
to connect
you, you
with
too.
You. Yeah, Linda Garofano, who is up there, and she's in the Stu stepped out of the studio, but she's in the southern coast of Italy, and it's late there. She was nice enough to stay up for me
here.
That
was nice.
This afternoon, because right now it's about 10:40 in Europe. And, well, parts of Europe, in Italy, for sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back here. Don't forget Sue's News in the next hour. Also, George Gray coming in with The Price is Wrong, Mark. We do that every once in a while. George is the announcer with Drew Carey on The Price is Right. We always have fun with that. I feel like every day I need to share something and pass something along about some of this gender conformity nonsense. And, you know, it's school year, so the kids are back in class. And I'm sure there's parents out there who have had their kids come home and say, hey, I'm no longer a boy. I don't know what I am. I'm no longer a girl. This is happening on an increase. Level of time. So Colin writes a guy who describes himself as an evolutionary biologist, and he is the editor of something called Reality's Last Stand. And the Wall Street Journal wrote about how even tomboys are being tagged as transgender these days. And some of the things that are in his piece that was in the journal are more than just a little bit troubling. And he goes on to describe it this way. He says the number of young Americans who describe themselves as transgender has exploded over the past decade. I'd say has exploded over the past 3 years, increasing by a factor of 20 to 40, according to gender clinic referral data and recent Williams Institute reports based on surveys by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Why? Jody Herman, author of the report, calls that a bewildering question. Clinical psychologist Erica Anderson tweeted that the surge defies explanation. Something is going on that we don't yet understand. Now, I think something's going on that we can understand, and I think that Colin Wright gets this as well. He goes into some of the explanations. The two leading explanations are greater social acceptance and social contagion. Both are likely contributing factors, but I think the main reason he says is simpler. It comes down to a change in terminology, and this is where it kind of gets a little scary. I have a wife who was an athlete, a little bit of a tomboy. I have a daughter who's a bit of a tomboy right now. We have a neighbor that lives next door who's a tomboy. She plays baseball and has been my daughter's coach. But until recently, the term transsexual referred to people with a cross-sex identity, a desire to be the opposite sex, or even a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. All right? Transgender is the favorite term now, and it's far broader. Far, far broader, as we've come to find out. It encompasses mere nonconformity with rigid traditional sex roles. So if you're a tomboy or a feminine boy, if your expression or behavior is different from what is, quote, typically associated with your sex based on, quote, traditional expectations, you are transgender. That's what makes you transgender, right? No wonder Colin writes, so many young people think they need medical help to correct their sex. Now, that's horrifying when you think about it, because that's kind of the lane that people are going down right now. And we're finding more and more regret about that lane. We have more and more people, thankfully, who went through some of these surgeries and some of the procedures who are now speaking up, writing op-ed pieces in the Washington Post, the LA Times, saying, whoa, slow down. We've gone too far. These are the people who transitioned. And they're saying, slow down. We've gone too far. Now, Colin Wright goes into some details here that I was unaware of. Planned Parenthood provides services to transgender patients at all of its locations. Maybe we shouldn't be worried about funding Planned Parenthood because of abortion, but maybe some of this stuff. It described itself as America's second largest provider of gender-affirming hormone care. They're proud of it there at Planned Parenthood. Its website defines gender as a social and legal status and a set of expectations from society about behaviors, characteristics, and thoughts, and asserts that it's more about how you're expected to act because of your sex. The, quote, gender binary, unquote, is defined as the idea that gender is strictly an either-or option of male men, masculine or female, woman, feminine, based on the sex assigned at birth. And non-binary as a rejection of the gender binary's assumption that gender is strictly an either-or option of male man, masculine, or female woman, feminine, based on sex assigned at birth. Now, we know that some people have rejected that, right? The American Psychological Association, which establishes the norms for clinical practice in the U.S., defines transgender as an umbrella term for persons whose gender identity, gender expression, or behavior does not conform to that typically associated with the sex to which they were assigned at birth. The Endocrine Society, the world's most oldest and largest organization dedicated to practice and research in hormonal medicine, uses almost identical language. So does the American Psychiatric Association, whose definition of gender expression is the outward manifestation of a person's gender, which may or not reflect their inner gender identity based on traditional expectations. By the way, now you might ask yourself, how did we get to this point? We're going to get to that because there's an explanation for all of this in just a minute. Get to that. The CDC, which purports to be the nation's leading science-based, data-driven service organization that protects the public's health, defines transgender. This is their definition at the CDC. They have no credibility left anyway, but I'll just pass it along. It's an umbrella term for persons whose gender identity or expression, masculine, feminine, other, is different from their sex, male, female, at birth. Even the hospitals, you know, we've gone into some of this wokeness that's in medical schools and hospitals right now. They are medicalizing nonconformity. Shame on you, doctors out there. The gender-affirming health program at the University of California, San Francisco, now it is San Francisco, mind you, describes the, quote, hormonal and surgical transition considerations for people who do not live within the binary gender narrative, which they say includes people who identify as genderqueer, gender nonconforming, and gender non-binary. I told this story. I have a dear friend whose daughter, I think, is like 25, 26 when she was 18 or 19 years old. We were just talking about, you know, her one day. I said, hey, does she have a boyfriend? What's going on? No, she's decided she's queer. She's identifying as queer. She didn't know what that meant. It really didn't mean anything outside of that she was confused. She's very heterosexual. She's probably going to get married here in a matter of months. The Children's Hospital, which lead you to believe all this is nonsense. That's why it's nonsense. Now, I've said this before. There probably is, and there are cases of gender dysphoria, but not one out of every five kids in first or second grade is transsexual, right? That's what we're led to believe. The Children's Hospital of Chicago says its patients include gender expansive or gender nonconforming children, which it identifies as children and adolescents who exhibit behavior that is not typical of their assigned birth sex. Now, this kind of goes through how did this happen? And I've kind of joked about this to a certain extent, but Colin Wright, I think, lays it out here, that you have a group of people that have been, here's kind of the way that I've framed it. I said, look, man, I want the PR firm that the transgender community has because they seemingly get everything that they want. But this whole thing with equating sex nonconformity with transgenderism didn't really happen accidentally. It was something that happened through the regulatory process. There were court decisions, there were bureaucratic guidelines, and they were presided over by trans interest groups, borrowed from the women's legal movement. They knew what they were doing here, and to a certain extent, we're so far in, can we even claw our way back? Great piece by Colin Wright, but every tomboy is tagged transgender. Think about that, parents. I think you should be troubled by that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.